How many find it difficult as a believer to live in the world that we're living in right now? How many as a Christian find it difficult to live here? It's tough, ain't it? It's a difficult place to live. Fair warning and a caution. Any preacher that gets behind the pulpit and preaches happy-go-lucky sermons and that you can live a happy-go-lucky life here is not telling you the truth. This place is a hard place to live. And it should be more difficult to live in this world as a believer than it is as an unbeliever. Now, keep in mind that you're not of this world. As a believer, you're looking someplace else as home, not here. So a believer has a more difficult time. Well, let me rephrase that. A believer should have a more difficult time living here than an unbeliever does. Amen? If you're having somebody preach that this is a great place, or preach even further that we are now living in the millennial kingdom, you might want to turn them off. By the way, that has come up over the past few weeks as I visit with four other pastors. They are experiencing in their churches this idea that we are in the millennium right now and that things will continue just to get better and better and better. I just got one complaint. This ain't the millennial kingdom I signed up for. This ain't it. But one of these days. But believers have a tough time living here. Or we should have. It should be difficult to live here. I find it difficult for people who claim to be a Christian living with one foot in the kingdom and the other foot living in the world. That's kind of a bad place to be, because you're influenced by both the kingdom and by the world. You're not taking a stand. You're trying to split everything in the middle. So if you're a believer living with one foot in the kingdom and one foot back on the earth, you're really going to have a mess. You're really going to have trouble just making ends meet. You're going to have trouble trying to figure out what's taking place in your life. How is a Christian supposed to be living in today's world? How are we supposed to be living as a Christian in the world in which I live today and you live? How are we supposed to be living as Christians? Now think about that. Don't give me your answer, because then the next question is, are you living that way? You see, I know how we're supposed to be living, but I think if we were really honest, we probably don't live up to the standard that we know we're supposed to be living. It's a tough place to live. Tough place to be. Before we even get started, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I just want to pick up a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 4 sort of gives us a picture of what it's like trying to live here. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to verse 11. Let's start there. And I find it interesting that God's word has the ability to change itself. You know, it appears to be one way in Scripture or in your Bible one day, and then it changes the next day to fit by the way, the words don't change, okay? But our understanding of that passage may change. Our revelation of that passage may change each and every time we're there. There may be a new lesson God has for us each time we go to this passage of Scripture. So it'll sound familiar. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. That's who we have in the church. It's good we have those in the church. Look at verse 12. What's the purpose of them being in the church? for the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints in the church? Ewens. For the equipping of Ewens, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Until, this part gets me. He's given these positions in the ministries in the church for the equipping of the saints to build up the church. Verse 13. There seems to be a point at which this stops. This building up and equipping. There seems to be a point at which it stops. Look at verse 13. Until. So this happens until we all attain the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now it appears to me from this passage of Scripture that all these ministries and servants in the church are in place and doing their job until we all attain to the unity of the faith. There is coming a point at which these positions will stop. When will that be? Why will that take place? Is because all Christians are in the place where they should be. When that happens, all these teaching positions are gone. Is that what it looks like? Until we all attain the unity. Now, I can tell you in the world today, in the church in which we participate in, you can be assured that there's going to be pastors and evangelists around for quite a while. It'd be nice if there wasn't, but we're going to be here a while because we all got work to do. Am I close? But I'm not done. Verse 14, as a result of reaching that unity of the faith. 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children. We got to stop being babies because we're supposed to be mature. Remember that verse right up there in 13? As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Know your doctrine. Okay? Know what's in here. By the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Remember how I started and said if there's preachers preaching that you can be in a happy-go-lucky world? I'd turn them off. Because this ain't that place. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Did your parents ever tell you that? You need to grow up. My dad had a patent on that statement. You need to grow up. Grow up in all aspects. That means across the board, as a Christian, we're to be growing up into Him. So as I mature as a Christian, my relationship with Jesus Christ should be better and better and better. Who is the head? Even Christ. From whom the whole body, that's usens, being fitted and held together by every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So what God has just given us is the formula for how we proceed as a believer in this terrible world. Is that we have one thing to do. And when we get that thing, we're going to be good. That thing involves me keeping my eyes on Jesus Christ. If I can keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, I'm going to mature as a believer in Jesus Christ. But notice I have to grow up in Him. I have to keep my eyes focused on Jesus. No matter what this world has to throw at you, Your eyes need to be focused on Jesus. Amen? Now, what's the problem in the world that we're living in right now? How easy is it for you to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ? You see, because everybody's telling you how terrible a place this is to live. Telling you how bad this virus is. Telling you how bad... I don't know. How many have any retirement account? Good. How many have ever looked at the financial forecast? I'm telling you this. There is a huge Great Depression coming and you're going to lose all your money. Ain't that sad? By the way, that was supposed to happen a few years back too. And the stock market went... Our eyes need to be focused on Jesus Christ, not this world. This world's a mess. It is a dump. But you see, I have something the world does not have. I have the person of Jesus Christ, the one who is the solution to every one of my issues. And I have lots of them. Jesus is the solution. If we can keep our eyes fixed on Him, no matter what happens in your life, your relationship, you will mature with Jesus Christ. It's terrible trying to be a Christian living with one foot in the kingdom and one foot here, because you don't know what direction to turn. When the virus starts throwing up in numbers, we turn this way and, oh, the world is so bad. Oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. I don't know how we're going to live. But then in the next moment, we move over in the kingdom and we go, oh, but God has everything in His hand. Well, either He does or He doesn't. But you can't live in both kingdoms. Good? Our eyes as a believer need to be fixed on Jesus Christ. We need to have both feet in the kingdom. He said you're going to live here in this world, and we will until He says, hey, it's time to come home. Let it be today. But until that time, He's asking us to stay in the kingdom with both feet. Let me give you a statement, and then you can get upset with me. All the tribulations that you face in this world as a Christian grows out of the flesh. All the tribulations that you deal with as a Christian in this world comes because of the flesh. That means it comes because of carnal nature. It comes out of the bad side of you. It comes because your flesh. It comes because right now here, I'm in the flesh nature, am I not? But God is saying, I don't want you there. I want to do something where you don't have to live there anymore. And when that takes place, our tribulation is different. See, our tribulation is now defeated as long as I keep my eyes focused on Jesus Christ. But if I got one foot there and one foot over here, I'm in a terrible place as a Christian. Let me give you some encouragement. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken. You know, I was looking at this verse and I got my own understanding of this verse. But like I say, every time you read it, God gives you something different. And He did this time. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you so that in Me you may have peace. Well, that's a novel idea, isn't it? If I keep my eyes focused on Jesus Christ and I'm in Jesus Christ, what am I going to have? Peace. According to what Jesus said, if I'm in Jesus, I have peace. Then He finishes the verse and He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now that verse speaks to me differently now. Jesus said, in Me you will have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Now that verse speaks to me differently now. That tells me that if I have one foot in the world, I'm going to have tribulation. If I have both feet in the kingdom, I'm going to have peace. no matter what is happening in my life, because you're still living in the world. But you don't have to live like the world. You can live above the world because Jesus has overcome the world. Amen? It's a matter of how you're looking at these passages of Scripture. I find it interesting. Jesus has shared with his disciples in John chapter 16 about his going away and about how things are going to be. And he says, in me you'll have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But I've overcome that. So that tells me as a Christian, I can live my life in this world, but I can be in peace as I'm living here. The tribulations have already been overcome. And that includes COVID. That includes financial disaster. That includes all the problems that we get torn apart by. If you're experiencing tribulation, if you're getting taken down by tribulation, it's because of the flesh. If I'm living in this world and I'm going, oh, the tribulation that I'm going through, it's because of the flesh. Because Jesus said, in me you will have peace. You'll have tribulation in the world, but I've overcome it. So if we are experiencing as a Christian tribulation, it's because of my flesh. It's because of my old me that I'm in the pig pen. Because everything else, Jesus defeated that, didn't he? So I shouldn't be having to live there. How many have a mirror at home? Let me ask you, when you get up in the morning, you go into the bathroom. And when you get in the bathroom, you look into a mirror, right? It's there. You're looking into it. Who do you see? You see you. By the way, that is a source of issue. That's a problem. Is when I look in the mirror and I see me, that's already a bad start to the day. Because when I look in that mirror, I'm seeing flesh. We need to look differently. If you're experiencing tribulation in your life, I can tell you the one that's in the mirror is the one causing it. Okay? If you're experiencing tribulation, it's the one in the mirror. It's who you see that's causing the tribulation. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. We'll read a few verses here. Verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. But now, you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Stop. That is quite a sermon. If you claim to be a Christian, if you are a believer, where is your mind supposed to be? Says it right here. Therefore, if you have been raised with him, with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. But yet we have a tendency to focus on what's here and what's taking place, don't we? You see, our eyes are in the wrong place. We're focusing upon the person in the mirror, not upon Christ. We're focusing on the flesh, not on Jesus Christ. Notice what has happened to the flesh. If you have been raised with Christ, that means I have a brand new me. I am to be operating different than what Paul is sending this to the Colossians. Is I'm supposed to be different than what they are. If I'm focusing on what's taking place in this world, I can't focus on Jesus. But yet as a believer, I'm supposed to be focusing and set my mind on things above in heaven and with Christ, not here. And if I'm focusing on here, then flesh is in and not the spirit. See, I'm supposed to be thinking and dwelling on what's in heaven, not what's in this world. And if the world is my focus, then flesh is in charge, not the spirit. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Are we good? Everybody in Romans chapter 5, go to verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. I'm just curious, how many give a praise and worship service over the tribulations that you're going through? We just have a good old time. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Why? Because we got our eyes focused somewhere else. And He is the one who has defeated these tribulations. Amen? Amen. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. The flesh that we have, according to Colossians, is dead. Your flesh is supposed to be dead because you have risen with Christ, according to Colossians, which means that my flesh is dead, but my spirit is alive. The problem with looking in the mirror is that we see the flesh. And then we experience the problems of the world because our eyes are not fixed on Jesus Christ. They're fixed on my flesh. And as long as I'm fixated on my flesh, I can guarantee you are going to be in tribulation because your eyes are fixed on the world. Look at verse 7 in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I'll be good to you. You'll spend the rest of the time there. Let's go to verse 6. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. What things? He has just named some of them. They're nasty. By the way, all of those things that He named can be found in the flesh. Look at verse 7. And in them, those things of the flesh, you also once walked when you were living in them. But now, you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. What has Paul just proclaimed? To these Colossians, they were once living in the world. They were once living in the flesh. Notice, and in them you also once walked. But now you also put them all aside. What has happened in the life of these Colossians? They have sacrificed the flesh. They are now living in the Spirit. They're focused upon Jesus Christ. Look, they're still living in the world. They're still alive. They're still breathing people. But look what they've done. You also once walked this way, but now things are different. You see, they're still alive. They're still living in the world. But where are they spiritually? They are living in the person of Jesus Christ. See, that old self has been crucified. It's been done away with. Their eyes are now focused on Jesus. Look, it says, you once walked that way. Well, if they once walked that way and could get out of it, we can also. We just got to get rid of the flesh. And as Romans says, you crucified that. It's done away with. We're to be living in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, I can keep my eyes focused on Jesus Christ. And when my eyes are focused on Jesus Christ, I have both feet in the kingdom. And no matter what comes at me from the world, it's already been defeated by Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either one will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. What Jesus is saying there is, you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. It doesn't work that way. You're either completely devoted to the world or you're completely devoted to Jesus Christ. You can't have it both ways. To get to the point where we have our focus, our fixation on the person of Jesus Christ requires that this person that I see in the mirror becomes absolutely nothing. It's that this person, this flesh, needs to be sacrificed. When that happens, I can now live in the Spirit because the world is behind me. I once was there, I'm no longer there. You may find this difficult to understand. You are not the most important person in this world. Jesus Christ is. You got to put your old self to death. It has to be sacrificed. You know, I think the big problem in this world is this. I want my way. Whatever I want is the way it should be. We have two dogs. One big one and one ugly one. That dog is ugly. She's about that big. And it's fascinating when, because, and by the way, they have a toy box. You guys, you probably got a toy box at home for the dog. But it's funny, when the one dog goes over to get a toy out, the other one gets upset. And he'll stand up and bark because the other dog took a toy out. And as soon as that little dog lays the toy down, the big dog goes over and takes it. But when the big dog puts a toy down, the little dog sneaks over and grabs it. See, that's not much different than the way we are. Is this world revolves around us? No, it doesn't. The world revolves around the person of Jesus Christ. He's the most important person. It's not us. You see, our life, our flesh is to be sacrificed for the purpose of the kingdom. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, let's go to verse 10. We'll go to verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with all its evil practices. Notice this is in past tense. You once walked, now you're this way. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside aside the old self and its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Some of you have it memorized. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's the solution to tribulation, is that I put aside the old self and the new one is being raised up. Because the new one is the one who's now focused on Jesus Christ, and the stuff in this world is just stuff. It's not important to me anymore, because the person of Jesus Christ is. Go to verse 12, Colossians. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Here's the tough part. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You see, that's different than the list he gave us with immorality, impurity, anger, abusive speech. This sounds different, doesn't it? It sounds completely different than what the world is right now, isn't it? Have a heart of compassion. Do you find that in the world today? Kindness, once in a while. Humility, nah. Gentleness and patience, nah. Verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. You remember the passage in Ephesians chapter 4 that said, until we all attain the unity? Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. See, we're supposed to be living different. We're supposed to be living like 12 through 17. That's the way a Christian's supposed to be living. And if you can live like that, it doesn't matter what the world throws at you. You will be victorious in it and overcome it because of the person of Jesus Christ. So what do I do to get that result? What do I do to now be living in the person of Jesus Christ, having compassion and kindness and humility and love? How do I do that? The first part, the first step is that you need the person of Jesus Christ. The first thing is you got to be saved. I believe in Jesus Christ. Paul says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, as long as you abide by all the rules of the church. That's not what it says. Confession and belief is what's required to be saved. And then I encourage you to be water baptized. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, it says, you will no longer be enslaved to sin. It means you don't have to. You can be victorious over it. You will overcome it because you have kept your eyes on Jesus Christ. And then my encouragement is, if you've gone this far with Jesus, you might as well put both feet in. And at that point, it's Holy Spirit baptism. Is that you're completely filled inside with the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want to end with a couple of questions. Where is your gaze? Who are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on all the stuff that's in this world? It'll eat you up. It is endless. It will not stop. Our eyes are to be on the person of Jesus Christ, and we will have a new outlook. Second question, am I more concerned about God than I am concerned about myself? Am I more concerned about me than I'm concerned about God? Because if I am, I'm living in the flesh. Third question, am I willing to sin to get my own way? That's a tough one. Am I willing to sin to get what I want? If you're focusing on you, you're in the flesh. Our gaze needs to be upon the person of Jesus Christ. You see, if you're in the flesh and you're in the workplace, you're going to have issues. If you're at work and you're in the flesh, you will experience all sorts of problems. I can guarantee that. I lived that. Going to work was terrible. I hated it. Whose fault was it? It was mine. But if your eyes are focused on Jesus Christ, you won't have any problems in the workplace. Why? Because your eyes are focused on the Master, not on your work. How many have ever had family issues? If your eyes are focused on Jesus Christ, you will not have any family issues. Why? Because Jesus has defeated all those issues. How many people have ever had problems at church? If your eyes are focused on Jesus, you won't have any problems in church. Why? Because you're not focusing on the problems, you're focusing on Jesus Christ. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but in the person of Jesus Christ you will experience peace. Peace. We need to get our eyes focused on Jesus and get our eyes off of ourselves. And this world would be different for us as it's supposed to be. Amen.